This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. $52 million. That's how much it costs to treat mental health issues in the Cooley region in 2 recent years. It may sound like a lot of money, but no one knows for sure if it's too much, too little, or just right. A new study was released this week that looks at some of the impacts mental health issues have on the Cooley region. It will serve as a baseline for future studies. The report, called The Burden of Mental Illness, a report on La Crosse and the surrounding region, will be used as a resource for groups that work on mental illness in the Cooley region. Among the other findings in the report is the fact that almost 30% of college students in La Crosse feel depressed, and 80% of college students feel overwhelmed. Depression is also the number one reason why people visit a hospital or clinic in the Cooley region. The report also focused on the general population and did not take into account groups that are more susceptible to suffering from a mental illness, like those in jail or those who are homeless. Tara DeLong, a Master's of Public Health student at UW-La Crosse, authored this study. WPR's John Davis started the interview by asking why the report has such a daunting title, The Burden of Mental Illness.
I struggled with the title a lot, and in public health, that idea of burden is very typical, and it's part of reporting data. And people were definitely put off by that title, and as you say, it is daunting, and it just sounds like this huge issue to kind of wrap your head around. As the researcher, I felt like I sort of owed this experience, after I'd put in all this work and effort, I felt like I needed to honor that the practice of public health in some ways, that I'm going to bring mental illness to the table as part of a primary health issue to our community and beyond. And I'm going to sort of force people to take a look at that.
There are several different goals. Could you talk a little bit about each of those goals?
What sort of I envision, is that mm-hmm. Okay? I really envision people being able to take this information and have it be a part of a process, so a part of the planning beyond what is happening now. So this information and data helps us know where we're at, helps us know and define what we're working with in terms of the mental illness, but also in terms of mental health issues. And so I guess some of my vision was that we would collaborate to focus on those issues surrounding mental health and mental illness, and that those collaborations would really move us toward objectives that would make this community healthier. And the four things that I kind of touched on was that collaboration again, and then that stigma reduction, so that people feel like getting treatment is not necessarily something that, I guess, other people judge them for. And thirdly, the idea that these issues are treatable and that people recover, and that access to healthcare does probably need to improve for this group of people.
What makes this report unique from the other reports that are out there about mental illness?
Well, one of the unique factors is that it really tried to identify things that are happening in La Crosse and the surrounding region. So there hasn't been a report like this. There have been other burden reports in La Crosse about things like obesity or risky drinking. So it kind of, again, brings that mental health and mental illness up front and talks about it as it's a health issue. And we're dealing with it, and we're identified it.
Is there anything that jumps out at you as being significant, the findings that you came up with?
I think that the trends are similar to national trends and state trends. Nothing like jumps out at me as, oh my gosh, we've got this major problem. But what I think it allows us to do is then say, okay, well, this is what it looks like here, and we can take a look at what has worked in other places and identify what those goals might be here to move forward with that whole idea of a healthier county.
One of the items that's cited in the report is the fact that well over 80% of college students feel overwhelmed. at one time or another in this area. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 years ago, it wouldn't have been that high. Do you think that there are certain environmental factors that are playing a role in that feeling of burden that people are feeling?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly sure what 20 years ago would have said, but I do think that college students and young people are continually having pressures that are feeling overwhelming and they're exhausted. And so as a community here, and also in terms of those higher education campuses, what are they doing to promote a more resilient youth experience? And part of this might be related to just that lack of support that students have when they arrive to an unknown place to really tackle some big stuff, like making, you know, decisions about careers and decide, you know, having to make new friends and be a part of something that was very structured previous to this experience. So while I don't think it's necessarily surprising, it would concern me if I worked for a university. I'd want to know that students were adjusting and not too exhausted to learn.
This report, I believe, is more or less limited to the general population. You didn't get into, like, the jail population or the homeless or transient population, where one would assume there are higher instances or incidents of mental health problems. Why make it a general study, and do those populations need to be studied in this area?
Yes. This study, I feel like, is one that can generate more energy and effort to really kind of take a look at some of those populations that are more vulnerable, like exactly the transient population. We know that we have one here. We also don't have the means to access data for that. So, for example, a free clinic might not be licensed to provide any sort of psychiatric care, so they're not tracking that people are arriving asymptomatic or not, you know, with a mood problem. So there are really some limitations in how that data presents. You know, the La Crosse County Jail, I didn't approach that particular piece because, like I said earlier, it was really hard to put boundaries on this project, and so I felt like I was going to do the most good by being general to start with and allow other people to move forward with different research and specific populations.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio La Crosse. We're talking about the Burden Mental Illness, a report recently written about the mental health of La Crosse and several surrounding counties. Our guest is the report's author, Tara DeLong, a Master's of Public Health student from UW-La Crosse. Who is receiving this report, Tara, and how should they receive it?
Well, many of the contributors, you know, sort of the unsung contributors, I've sent a link to them, and it's available to the public. So you can access the report on the Healthiest County 2015, which is right on the La Crosse Health Science Consortium website under the Mental Health Focus Group. So it's available to people who are interested and want to read it, and I encourage people to read it and familiarize themselves with this information. There is a lot of information in the report, and it can feel or seem overwhelming, but I really feel like it has a lot of value to the community, and it has value to people who care about the people they're living around and surrounded by. Some of this information, you know, people don't know about. You know, the cost in terms of healthcare, you know, that's information you're not going to find anywhere else. That was just analyzed by myself and Dr. Rooney, and as well as like the piece on stigma reduction, as well as the YRBS, the youth behavioral data that's specific to mental health. So this is really unique. Some really unique data sets here, and I think it's, you know, I'm pretty excited about it.
How do you think the report could help community leaders or these agencies that are dealing with mental health issues to come at the problem in the future?
Yeah, one thing that I mentioned just as we were ending is that whole idea that maybe this could spark some surveillance. You know, is there a way for people to document and collect some data for this community so that we can continue to use information like this to help support the movement forward? I imagine that people might use this report when they're writing grants and trying to get dollars for the community to put into place some level of health programming or mental health improvement programming. I think that those two pieces are key.
Mental health treatment accounted for $52 million in healthcare spending in 2009-2010. We've never had a study like that, so we don't know if that's good or bad, do we?
Right, we don't know. I mean, part of this is that it's really a starting point. What we know, though, is that $52 million is a lot of money, and healthcare costs are growing. And so if there are ways that these healthcare organizations can really take a look at where the dollars are being spent and making the most efficient use of those dollars for this population and for, you know, access, that I think that becomes important. I anticipate that maybe in the future those figures might be generated again to compare.
And the fact that depression is the biggest presenter when it comes to clinic or hospital visits.
Mm-hmm. Well, we know in the population that I think the statistic is one in every four individuals might experience depression in their lifetime. And that's for women specifically, and then might be a little bit higher for the general population. But yeah, depression is having an impact on not only hospital visits, but absolutely this community. If people's moods are low and they're not able to do their usual activities and they're not finding enjoyment, then their quality of life is suggestibly poor. So what are we doing to promote a healthier quality of life here?
And if I recall, the report did not talk specifically about lost productivity in the workplace as a result. In this region anyway, right. But nationally it's quite significant, isn't it?
True, and that state of Wisconsin, you know, has a very nice study out on that. But yeah, there wasn't anything specific to the region, only there was the contracted EAP service. So we knew that people were coming to EAP, but they didn't identify how many days that they were not coming to work or going to work based on those symptoms.
So this report is part of an effort to make this community healthier by 2015. Mm-hmm. What needs to happen, do you think, in the mental health area to make this a healthier community?
I really feel like in this area that we need to continue some of what we've done. That it's not all about creating everything new, but it's really building on the momentum and strengths that we have. And so some of the things that I would like to see is, probably are already happening. Right now, Gunderson Lutheran is building a new behavioral health unit that will provide additional care for people with mental illness. So that's on the higher side or the higher cost side. And what are we doing, you know, in the community? I really feel like people need skills. They need to learn about how to be resilient and how to manage some of these things that life brings us. And so how do we do that? I think that's part of the art maybe of what comes from this project and what's coming from this collaborative effort here.
Tara DeLong is the author of the first ever report that takes a comprehensive look at the impact mental illness has on the general population of the Cooley region. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. The burden of mental health measured a lot of mental health statistics in La Crosse County and five surrounding counties, including Houston, Vernon, Monroe, Trempealeau, and Jackson. The La Crosse Medical Health Science Consortium, which helped commission the report, is hoping the dozens of agencies that deal with mental health issues in the Cooley region will be able to make use of it. WPR's John Davis talked with Patty Jo Severson about that. She's co-chair of the Mental Health Coalition of the Greater La Crosse Area and also co-president of the Wisconsin chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI Wisconsin. She was asked why the study is important for the Cooley region.
I think the study demonstrates or shows what many families know and have known for many, many years. Those of us who live with individuals or loved ones with mental illness have significant impairments related to physical health as well as mental health. And we know that our kids may have experienced symptoms of mental illness in their childhood or adolescent years that were not diagnosed until later teen years or even adulthood, with sometimes severe consequences. When our loved ones end up in a crisis, at an emergency room, or within a suicide attempt, or at the jailhouse, or in the principal's office, oftentimes there's other things going on. And this study demonstrates some of that we need to, as a community, address.
Is there anything in this study that stands out for you or surprises you?
I'm not sure it surprises me. I think it's nice to see it in writing. As I participate in the National Alliance on Mental Illness programs, and as I participate in the Mental Health Coalition and some of the community work we do, this is evidence in this study that what we're doing is for a good reason, and it confirms what we've known for a long time. So nothing really surprises me. My background is I'm educated as a dietitian. I'm a big advocate for eating well, but I know that choices are made on an individual basis based on how we feel, sometimes emotionally, and we choose to participate in the rest of the world when we feel like we're welcome. So for me, I look at the physical and mental health is clearly linked, even more so than before. So one of the things we talk about in our work is how you feel about yourself and the world around you determines the choices you make and the chances you take. And if an individual is not feeling like they belong or feeling like something isn't going right, that sets them up a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Reports like this can be helpful, mm-hmm, if they're not stuck on a shelf, mm-hmm, somewhere and allowed to collect dust. Mm-hmm. How do you envision this being used going forward?
Oh, that's a great question. We're doing a program called Parents and Teachers as Allies in the schools in this community, and they've been great about allowing us to do this. We're family members who know, and it's on the early signs and symptoms of mental illness. So we'd like to continue that work. We'd like to continue doing another program called NAMI Basics, which is a program for families who have children or adolescents with mental illness. This type of report really supports doing that kind of prevention work. So those are just two of the things that come to mind right now. And to continue that communication to help reduce stigma. It's nobody's fault, and yet sometimes parents feel it is.
There are a lot of groups working on this issue, mm-hmm, in this community. That might be one of the nice things. I mean, it's not just a report that's going to be sucked into a vacuum and never used. Mm-hmm. Do they work pretty well together, do you think? And can this report help bring their work even, make it more integrated, I guess?
Oh, a great question. And the answer to that is yes, this report can help do that. There's enough work for many folks to do, and none of us can do this alone. No institution can bear the weight of this. The county cannot, the jails cannot, our emergency and trauma centers cannot, our schools cannot.
And so, yes, I think there is a collaboration that's growing here that La Crosse and the community can be very, very proud of, because across the state, this kind of collaboration is rare. Even the work related to mental health and mental illness in our jails and our community liaison officers, and some of that education. We do a crisis intervention training for, it's a week-long program for police officers and law enforcement, and it's on mental illness and how to respond. So that individual who might seem threatening in one moment, with the right kind of discussion, can get appropriate help.
Is there anything else you want to add?
I think the media can play a huge part in this effort, reducing the stigma. When a tragedy occurs and someone who lives with a mental illness is involved in a crime, oftentimes that is what is perceived as the problem. When things have gotten to that point, there have been many missed opportunities. It's part of the work that NAMI does, but part of the work that CIT does. And I think providing appropriate language in written newspaper articles and on TV, that this is someone that's in trouble. And as a community, I think we need to respond to that. So that's part of the other work I think that all of us are doing collectively.
Patty Jo Severson is responding to the first ever comprehensive study about the impact of mental health issues in the Coulee region. She's the co-chair of the Mental Health Coalition of the Greater La Crosse Area and co-president of NAMI Wisconsin. A link to the report is available on our website, wpr.org/lacrosse. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll talk with journalist and author Kathy Cronkite, the daughter of TV journalist Walter Cronkite, about her life with depression and ways to end the stigma that surrounds mental illness. She paid a visit to La Crosse last fall.
I recommend that if you have a friend that needs help, that you find out first where you're going to take them. Because sadly, even among professionals, not everybody is very educated about depression. And there are still people who will pat you on the hand and say, there, dear, just get a good night's sleep.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. We also welcome your comments and ideas. Simply follow the links on our archives page at wpr.org/lacrosse.